Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat Boyle.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Hey-oh! Happy Wednesday morning, New York City. It's been a while, but back with you here. Pat Boyle on the Fan, filling in for C-Mac, who filled in for Keith. The rotating parts, you get it. What's going on? How are we doing? 888-808-1019, the phone number to join. Listen anywhere, anytime on the Odyssey app. You can hit me up on Twitter at PatBoyle44 anytime throughout the show with your questions or comments. We're not far off, says Joe Shane. Just lost to the Panthers. The Panthers on Sunday. The team stinks. The quarterback is one of the worst in football. But they're not far off because they've lost a bunch of close one-score games. We'll get to the Giants. My thoughts on the future of Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, who starts next for the New York Giants. Irrelevancy has descended upon the New York Giants once again, way before Thanksgiving. Some things, the more they change, the more they stay the same. More on the Jets as well, who have been really the laughing stock of the National Football League this year as well. Plenty of football talk will do. The Juan Soto sweepstakes. Some busy local hockey action last night / tonight that we'll get into, but I want to start. It's a celebratory Tuesday night now into a Wednesday morning here. I'm one of the biggest Knicks fans that you will talk to, that you will hear from. So, yeah, let's open up with the New York Knicks here and the NBA Cup and that awful-looking blue court at the Wells Fargo Center. And really, the joke that is these courts for the Emirates NBA Cup. Another thing, you know, and I don't necessarily mind Adam Silver, but man, those courts are pitiful. They are hideous. You got lime green, you've got a neon bright blue. I heard C-Mac saying it, we were talking about it in between breaks in the newsroom. Just put the freaking NBA Cup logo on the half court like they have. Maybe paint the paint, you know, whatever color you want. But my goodness, leave the rest alone. My eyes were bleeding trying to watch that game tonight. And last year wasn't any better. It was the same thing. We get it. You want the NBA Cup to be different. Anyway, but we could talk more on that. I don't want to get distracted here. Great win. Great win for the Knicks. I don't care what kind of issues the Sixers are dealing with Paul George not having played until last week, with Joel Embiid only making his debut, with Tyrese Maxey out for several weeks with a hamstring injury, because the Knicks, you know, this team's got their issues as well. Precious Achiuwa hasn't played yet. Mitch not going to play till January. Shamit not going to play for God knows how long. Campaign was hurt and only now coming back. So once again, we've got Tom Thibodeau playing the starters 40 minutes and a six-man rotation, basically. And we haven't even had Thanksgiving. We'll talk about why I'm concerned going forward with the Knicks and why this 500 slog that they found themselves in is probably going to last until January, let's be honest. But for now, I want to enjoy a win in the prestigious NBA Cup. But more so, really just kicking the ass of the Philadelphia 76ers once again. And God, does that feel so damn good. Watching Joel Embiid start this season, start his season the same way he crashed out last season, hurt, flopping, crying like a little baby. I mean, the if you watch the game and if you haven't, just, you know, search it on social media, Embiid flop. He literally tries to go around on offense, a little screen, and like bumps into Deuce McBride. Deuce McBride, by the way, who's half his size. Deuce McBride, who is what, maybe 6'1"? I think he's listed as 6'2". Embiid bumps into him and jumps back as if he just got shot in the leg. So watching Embiid get gassed, out of breath, call for a sub 5 minutes into the game because he's out of shape, he is not conditioned, he got suspended 3 games for pushing a reporter, which, by the way, I don't necessarily blame him for that. The reporter is evoking his late brother and his son's name and questioning Joel Embiid's effort, which, you know, you can question Joel Embiid's effort, but you bring family into it, that's a whole different category. But either way, the way this season has started for the Philadelphia 76ers, who were seen as a title contender in the East after trading for Paul George, a guy who is perpetually injured, and counting on Joel Embiid, a guy who is perpetually injured, to overtake the leapfrog the Knicks in the Eastern Conference. And yeah, it's New York and Philadelphia. And sure, the NBA Cup, yeah, it means a little bit more. Would I rather have do I want a banner hanging in the rafters for an NBA Cup than nothing? Sure. But I don't give a damn if the Knicks don't win an NBA title. So yeah, the game meant a little more. Embiid's first game, and he plays 26 minutes of lethargic, horrible, mediocre basketball. Didn't even make a shot in the first half. He finishes with 13 points, was getting dog walked by OG Anunoby all night, couldn't defend. And the Knicks, really a game that shouldn't have even been close. It was close until the pivotal moment in the game where Karl Anthony Towns gets called for an offensive foul, even though Kelly Oubre basically sprinted headfirst into him, and then Embiid, of course, flops because he barely got touched on the follow-through of Karl Anthony Towns. It gets called an offensive foul, and Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks very smartly challenge it. It gets overturned, and coming out of that timeout, the Knicks just absolutely run away with the game. That was the turning point in that game. The offensive foul on Karl Anthony Towns gets overturned, and the Knicks then just destroy Philadelphia the rest of the way. One possession, by the way, that the possession with the offensive foul that then gets overturned, I love it. It was right after Embiid makes a layup to cut the Knicks' lead to 76-75, and immediately, seconds later, Jalen Brunson goes right after Embiid and draws a foul on Embiid the same way that Embiid has drawn fouls, the free throw merchant, on every other player in the NBA for the last decade. So Brunson beats Embiid at his own game, hits the free throws, and then it was, you know, to start the fourth quarter then, that play with Karl Anthony Towns and the foul on Oubre and whatnot, and coming out of that, Deuce McBride hits a three to make it an 8-point game, and the Knicks then score another 6 points in a row, and it was over from there. So, great win. The Knicks are now back to 500 at 5-5, and for at least a night, Mikal Bridges defended pretty damn well. He shot it well, even though he went 0-for-2 from 3. He defended well. He played well. OG Anunoby was an absolute animal. I mean, it turned into his own, like, you know, personal slam dunk contest in this game. He finishes with 24 points, a team high. Towns, 21-13. He's making behind-the-head passes. He's hitting his threes. He's rebounding like a beast. He's dominating Embiid, too, in the battles they got into one-on-one. Hart drops a triple-double. And Jalen Brunson, briefly exited the game, and I'm thinking, oh, no, please. Please not a sprained ankle. That's the last thing we need. This team is cooked. This team will be 10 games under 500 by New Year's if Jalen Brunson has a sprained ankle. And luckily, it was just a brief exit. But Brunson didn't play well. I mean, he struggled to score. He got a lot of those points late on some easy buckets when the game was decided on free throws. But Jalen Brunson doesn't even play well. He finishes with 18 points, and the Knicks still end up winning the game by 12. So, yes, the Knicks have issues. Tom Thibodeau is burning his starters into the ground in November, in the middle of November. But at least for one night, after the debacle on Sunday, getting beat by the Indiana Pacers, a team that I can't stand. Like, I can't stand the Pacers now just as much as I can't stand the 76ers and the Heat. They have reached that level of hatred for me. And I got to reach Tyrese Halliburton, the biggest front runner in basketball, the biggest fake tough guy and fake superstar. When he hits threes in his old building, you know, remember Mikal Bridges put him in handcuffs when they played at the Garden a couple of weeks ago. Didn't score a single point. And the Knicks rebound from that, and they beat the Sixers tonight slash last night now, 111-99. It was a great win. The defense looked good. And again, I don't care that the Sixers have issues because we know the Knicks have their own set of issues. So I'm going to take the win. The Knicks are now back to 500. But, you know, I got to be honest. I'd be lying to you now. Again, I'm enjoying the win, but let's turn the page here. 888-808-1019. It's Pat Boyle with you here on The Fan. Your calls, your thoughts. You want to tweet me at PatBoyle44 on all the positives from this game, from this win against the 76ers. But obviously there's a lot of negatives, and there's a lot of concern for this team. And I'll tell you, my concern lies with two areas. And one, it's most importantly, it is the lack of depth on this team. And yeah, I understand. It's not easy to replace Mitchell Robinson. He's one of the best defending big men in the NBA. And courtesy of the whiny, flopping, free throw merchant baby who will never be healthy or win a title when it matters, Joel Embiid, the reason that Mitchell Robinson is hurt, and it's not going to be easy without Precious Achiuwa, who's a nice role player, who we've seen have had some big games for the Knicks. If you're a Knicks fan, you know what he means to this team. When Campaign was hurt and missed a couple of games without Landry Shamet, who, yeah, is not a superstar, not a star, not even an all-star, not even close to that by any stretch of the imagination. Not even, you know, like, shouldn't be playing more than 15 minutes on a given night for this team, but a great vet role player that can hit threes. Dislocated shoulder before the season even begins. So all these injury problems that have hit the Knicks, I understand that it's not easy to just say, all right, well, you know, play journeyman Matt Ryan 20 minutes. Like, trust Pacom Dadier, one of their rookies. Like, throw him into the fire 20, 25 minutes. Tyler Kolek, yeah, let's see him play 30 minutes. Like, I know it's not easy to do that. But then again, right now, for the next couple of weeks here, Tom Thibodeau does have to change who he is as a head coach. This is a totally unsustainable approach to winning games right now. Because let's be honest, this isn't the same New York Knicks team as last year. It's not the New York Knicks team from 2 years ago, and it sure as hell ain't the Knicks team from 2020 and 2021, where Julius Randle, Elfrid Payton, and Derrick Rose, along with a young R.J. Barrett, led the Knicks to the playoffs, only to get beat in the first round, embarrassed in the first round by Trae Young. Another team who I hate, by the way, and I had to hear Trae Young tell Knicks fans to cry and leave when they got beat by Atlanta a couple of days ago. So it's a different team. There's title expectations, which is, it's weird. We're not used to being in that spot. We're not used to being in that spot as Knicks fans. Realizing what could be last year, the overachieving of the New York Knicks was fun. It was awesome. It was a season I'll never forget. And it's a season that I'll always wonder what could have been if not for the injuries that crushed this team. But then after the trade for Bridges, giving up 5 first-round picks, after the trade for Cat and sending away Julius Randle, who had made this team relevant, and it was such a big heartbeat and soul of this team, and DiVincenzo, and bringing in Karl Anthony Towns, the team not only is fundamentally and roster different, it's a different look. They're giving up defense to be a better offensive team. There's also different expectations. Now it's, hey, second round in the playoffs ain't going to cut it this year. It's not going to be, oh, what a fun ride it was. No. Now, as for a large portion of this season, as a fan, that joy is kind of not stripped away. But like going on a run in January where they were the best team in the NBA, I'm going to try to enjoy every single moment, but I know deep down that it really doesn't matter unless this team at minimum gets to the conference finals. And even then, like, it's going to suck and it's going to hurt and it's going to be crushing if they do get to the conference finals and lose to Boston, or if they, once again, overachieve, get to the NBA finals and lose. It's still going to hurt unless the year ends with a title. So, I mean, that's every year as a sports fan. But this year, the expectations are different here. So there's that sense of, okay, sure, nice run, but what does it matter? And that's a constant battle you have to go back and forth with yourself as a sports fan. When your team is good, when your team does have title aspirations, can you enjoy the ride? Can you enjoy a win on a Tuesday night in the freaking NBA Cup against Embiid and the Sixers? So yes, I want to enjoy all that. But also, I want the team to be able to get there. And I understand that if it means playing rookies like Pacome Dadie and Tyler Kolek and Ariel Laporte and Matt Ryan, like playing those guys for longer stretches than we would, and maybe a 4-point deficit turns into a 13-point deficit against a good team, and it means that the Knicks can't come back and the Knicks play 500 ball until January, I think I'm okay with that. I think I would live with that rather than the current approach to winning games and playing games right now for Tibbs, which is OG Anunoby, 41 minutes. Jalen Brunson playing 40 minutes almost every other game. Mikal Bridges, he's already played 40 minutes three times this year. Like, that is not sustainable. Running a six-man rotation. And oh yeah, by the way, the Knicks play again tonight. Wednesday night against the Bulls. A game where I wouldn't be surprised if they lose by 15 points at home. Because you just played your starters all 35 minutes or more, some of them 38 minutes. Anunoby plays 41 minutes, tasked with guarding Joel Embiid and Paul George. And then the next night, you got to turn around and play the Bulls, who, yeah, not a good team, not a great team, but that's the nature of the NBA. So, again, I'm not going to be surprised one way or another if the Knicks are a 500 team until January. I just can't afford to see Tom Thibodeau, and I have always hated the people that are the minutes police, but I guess maybe I am starting to go through my training to put on my minutes police badge and uniform, because, again, I enjoyed the win against the Sixers. The Knicks' defense has been a major issue so far this year, and on top of that, if Jalen Brunson is playing 40 minutes every other night, and whether it's because he's playing or it's just because of a freak accident where he rolls his ankle, like he almost hurt his ankle last night, if something happens to Jalen Brunson where he's now on the shelf for 2 to 3 months, I don't know if this team will ever be able to gel or get the chemistry that they need to in order to win a title. This team gelling together, Mikal Bridges gelling with Karl Anthony Towns, gelling with Jalen Brunson, gelling with everybody else, Hart, and people that have been on the team last year, it doesn't need to come in the form of playing 38 to 40 minutes every night. It can't. It's unsustainable. So I got a major concern with the way that Tom Thibodeau, the way with Tibbs, has been playing these guys like it's playoff games, and yet it's the 10th game of the season. And then I also just have a major concern right now with the idea that Mikal Bridges might just stink. He might just flat out be washed. And I know it was, you know, the preseason where he changed his shot and he basically didn't make a single shot in the preseason. And then the first half on opening night against Boston, he doesn't make a shot. And it's like, whoa, what? What did we just get fleeced? Was this the biggest fleece in NBA history, what just happened with the Brooklyn Nets? But he's actually been pretty decent as of late, shooting it from the field. From three, it's still a pretty abysmal 32% from deep. But Mikal Bridges, the issue that I have with him is defensively. How many times he just gets beat to the point of attack? How many times he just gets lost on simple pick and roll exchanges? That's the concern that I have. That Mikal Bridges, a guy that plays every single game, basically, of his career, got worn down last year by Brooklyn and is kind of treating the first 2-3 months of this season either like they don't matter or he peaked 2 years ago when he was at the Phoenix Suns, or he peaked the beginning of last year when the Nets had a little bit of something to play for and that quickly vanished. So those are my two concerns. While we wait for Mitchell Robinson, while we wait for Precious Achiuwa, while we wait even in some very smaller degrees for Landry Shamet, but mostly it's the big guys, Mitch and Precious, that are forcing now everybody else to play 38, 37, 40 minutes a night. I worry that the injuries are only going to get worse on this team, and I really just worry about Mikal Bridges just not being that good anymore. Because that really, when I look at this Knicks team and say, when we all looked at this Knicks team in the end of the summer, and you know about 2 months ago when they made the trade for Cat and said, wow, the ceiling is higher. It may make me upset deep down, having traded away Julius Randle, having traded away Dante DiVincenzo, you know, RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley now gone for almost a full calendar year. The core of this team is so different. What attracted us to this Knicks team last year is even different. But knowing that they're a championship team, and then thinking that Mikal Bridges, who we traded 5 first-round picks for, just might flat-out not be that good anymore. Yeah, there's a lot of concern. But again, for the time being, I'm going to enjoy this one. And that's what we should do as sports fans. I think that's a overarching argument, an overarching debate that we can have tonight. 888-808-1019. You got to enjoy the little things. You can't live your life as a sports fan with, well, if it doesn't end in a title, so what? Yeah, I can't get excited about a win because there's so many injuries right now. And I know what I'm saying, you know, I'm saying that and then also criticizing the team and worrying about injuries and worrying about Mikal Bridges thinking. Well, that's part of what we do here. I can't just get on the air and say, yeah, Knicks win, let's go. Best team in basketball. I don't care that they're 5-5. I don't care that their three-point defense is one of the worst in the NBA. They beat the Sixers, so that's all we're going to talk about for 5 hours. No, we got to talk about the good with the bad. But when I turn this mic off at 5 a.m. and I go home to sleep, I'm in a good mood. And I'm going to be in a good mood until tip-off against the Chicago Bulls. And if they give up 130 points tomorrow, then that mood will be gone. But for now, I want to enjoy and celebrate this Knicks win over the Sixers last night. And that's where we'll start. And since it's been a couple of weeks since I've been on the fan, mostly spending my weekends doing update shifts on Saturday and preparing for our whip around action NFL show that I do every Sunday on Infinity Sports Network, Gridiron Game Day with Pat Boyle. It's been a couple weeks since I last hosted on the fan. So really, for all my Knick fans out there that just want to get on the horn and just kind of your overall thoughts on the first 3 weeks of the season, your thoughts on Mikal Bridges, your thoughts on Tibbs and how this team is starting to take shape. And just, I mean, really, they're inconsistent. They get blown out on Sunday, they blow out the Bucks on Friday, and then they, you know, thoroughly pull away from the Sixers and win tonight. So it's been a lot of good, it's been a lot of bad. 5-5 through 10 games. Your thoughts on the New York Knicks, 888-808-1019, and we'll start right out of the gate with Bobby on Long Island. Bobby, you're kicking us off here. It's Pat Boyle on the fan. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother.
I'm watching Klay Thompson going crazy here, but
yeah, I do have the game on mute on my TV as well. This is he's got what 22 points now, and it's good to see. It's good to see him come back and I wouldn't even say stick it to Golden State because I mean if I was the front office for the Warriors, I would have done the exact same thing. I mean, the guy went 0-10 in a playoff game last year. He looked washed for most of the season, but yeah, it's
Golden State. Is that true? I don't know.
What'd you say?
And did he want the max contract from Golden State?
I don't know if he wanted the max, but he sure wanted a hell of a lot more than what they were willing to give him.
Now, let me get to Embiid. It's incredible that this guy played in the Olympics. I understand that the team has no control over him, but it just shows. I mean, why would he? That's kind of a selfish act. I know the gold medal is important, but the NBA championship is so much more important. So it just shows his mentality. And, you know, the Knicks merely missed Avicino and Arnstein. You know, their defense. I wasn't crazy about the trade. I know Towns has a great skill set, but their defensive toughness was key. And if Anobli gets hurt, like last year, they're going to be in a deep, you know what.
But yeah, I agree. And their defense has been pretty mediocre right now, Bobby. I mean, again, you look at these. Yeah. look at some of these losses they've taken so far, giving up 132 to Indiana, 121 to Atlanta. And then on nights where they don't bring their best offense, you know, they lose to a team like the Houston Rockets. But it's Bridges who was one of the best defenders, especially from the perimeter in the NBA. Again, that's not hyperbole.
Yeah.
To see how bad he's been defensively so far. And then, I think any Knicks fan, you knew that we were giving up some defense with Hartenstein going to Oklahoma City, which was really out of the Knicks' control. They didn't have his bird rights. They could only offer him a maximum of $50 million. So, but you knew when you got the trade for Karl Anthony Towns, you knew you were getting one of the best three-point shooters for a big man in the last 20 years of the game, but you were going to give up some defensively. It's just been pretty jarring just how bad defensively they've actually been.
And Indiana, you know, a lot of people are overlooking this team. I mean, the Knicks don't play defense against Indiana. They're not going to get by Indiana in the second round. They get the conference championship, if that's what the matchup is. But I just want to get your quick opinion about Soto. My opinion is that Uncle Stevie's going to match any offer other than the Yankees, and he's going to go 75 above the Yankees. That's the only way the Mets are going to get him, because Judge was offered to 10th year by San Diego, and he turned it down. So I think he's going to have to go at least 75 above the Yankee offer and match any other offer for the Mets to get him.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Bobby, I appreciate the call. Just to finish the point you said on Embiid, you know, did the Olympics even really mean that much to him? He played for Team USA, and then he basically said he was going to play for Cameroon, his birth country, in the 2028 Olympics. So really, how important was winning a gold medal to him? And to the point where it's just the same old story. You know, it's putting lipstick on a pig. Any way they could try to minimize the chances of him getting hurt before the playoffs. So it was left knee management. All right, he's not going to play the first 10 games, basically, of the year. And then when he shows up last night for the first game, he's so out of shape that, he's calling for a timeout 5 minutes into the freaking game. So it's a joke the way that 76ers team and organization is run. I love watching them fail and crash out. It's one of my favorite pastimes. I know Sal Licata calls them the 76ers. I mean, they really are. Hey, we have an injury-prone superstar that, when he's healthy, he's one of the best players in basketball, but he's always hurt. Let's pair him with Paul George, who is literally always hurt every postseason. That'll definitely do the trick. But to answer your point on Juan Soto, and we'll get into Soto stuff more with some updates that we got, yesterday in the last 2 days here, I ultimately do think my opinion, my prediction is he does stay with the Yankees. And it's probably for a contract that's around $650 million. And I do think the Mets and Steve Cohen will offer him $700 million plus. And I do think the Giants will probably offer him $700 million plus because, you have to if you're the San Francisco Giants. I think that scenario is basically, the Giants saying, Juan Soto, we'll give you $700 million. And then, if it's an empty gesture, it's like the Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm empty gesture. Whereas if Juan Soto then says, all right, you know what, I actually do want to play for the San Francisco Giants, they're going to probably say, oh, crap, we really got to pay this guy $700 million? Can you defer any of these payments, Juan, please? Because, we can't do this. So I think you might have, on paper, you might have the Giants. You might have the Blue Jays who, some people think they apparently were ready to offer Shohei Ohtani $700 million. They were the ones that came up with the deferred payments that ultimately he chose to do with the Dodgers. So you might hear the Blue Jays offered Juan Soto $700 million. But ultimately, I think Juan Soto and Scott Boras, as bad of a winter as Scott Boras had last year, they're smart. I think ultimately he wants to stay with the Yankees. He's had a full year of seeing what it's like playing in Yankee Stadium, where they have the second highest attendance every year behind only the Dodgers. Where what that brand awareness does, and playing in pinstripes, playing for the Bronx, playing in the Bronx, playing for a Yankees team that, yes, of course, that we have as many passionate Mets fans here in this city as we do Yankee fans, but across the country, on an international, on a national, and on a global stage. I mean, just look at how much the Yankees are worth as a franchise. You don't need me to tell you. Look it up. I think Juan Soto ultimately wants to stay with the Yankees, and I think that Yankee Stadium is perfectly built for him. You know, again, I think we got to take everything into account here. You have a 315-foot fence in right field for a left-hander that, yes, sprays the ball all over the field. You got a short porch in left. You got a short porch in right. Hit 41 home runs this year. A lot of that was because he played at Yankee Stadium. You don't think Juan Soto is taking that into account? You don't think Juan Soto is taking into account the fact that he's going to hit in front of Aaron Judge for the rest of his career? And that even then, he's going to draw 100-plus walks a year because he's Juan Soto, but for the most part, he's going to see good pitching because he's got one of the best home run hitters in the last 20 years hitting behind him. So I do think it ultimately will come down to Hal Steinbrenner making an offer that is respectful enough for Juan Soto to agree to. And I really do think that Juan Soto, as much as he says he won't, and his actions, he says all 30 teams are open for business. And every, you know, hinting that he is not going to take a hometown discount for the Yankees, I still do think that if it comes down to the Yankees at, let's say, $650 million and the Mets at $700 or the Mets at $720 or the Mets at $730 and any other team at $720, if the Blue Jays throw out $720 or $730, I really do think that Juan Soto is going to stay with the Yankees. He's not going to take $100 million less, but I think he'll take $50 million less. 888-808-1019. So there you go. First caller, Bobby, wanted to crack open the Juan Soto discussion. So sure, if you want to call in about that, we can. But I'd like to take as many calls from the Knicks fans here to start the show. After a nice win last night in Philadelphia, kicking Embiid's ass, holding him to just 13 points on 2 of 11 shooting, and all the issues that have been present so far for the Knicks en route to a 5-5 start in the season, at least last night, the defense clamped down. The Knicks did not melt down in the fourth quarter. They hit big shots when they needed to and really just rubbed it in the faces of the Philadelphia fans that they still own this team. 8 wins in the last 11 games against the Sixers, including the playoffs. So for a night enjoying what has been a very uneasy start to the Knicks year, your thoughts on the first 10 games, on Tom Thibodeau playing these guys, you know, running them into the ground here before we hit December, and just on Mikal Bridges as well.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.